This is an ENN special report. Now reporting.
Former 24/7 champion, Peter Rosenberg.
ENN's at 6.
When the clock struck 6, it meant one thing.
Bear, I'm doing a show. Turkey, ducky, turkey, ducky.
That's great.
Now, from the ESPN New York news desk, here's
Rosenbaum or whatever that guy's name is.
No wonder your show is number one.
Good evening, and welcome to ENN.
On TV.
That's right, on TV, Michael. Happy Valentine's Day to everyone.
Yeah.
And ENN tonight is, of course, brought to you by DoorDash. Download the DoorDash app now and start exploring some of the best New York has to offer. DoorDash, get more from your neighborhood. I'd like to start off by saying good evening to Michael.
I'm very old, man.
I'd like to say good evening to Don.
I just wanted to ask you guys if you saw any of the Waste Management Phoenix Open this weekend.
No, not at all, and I want to talk about it. Thank you for the phone call.
I'd also like to say good evening to Michael again.
Look at me!
And to Don.
If we get pushes, we get pushes.
And to Michael again.
Butter knocked me off the air.
Oh,
boy.
I'm sorry. I'm making things up here.
Absolutely.
Okay. Well, guys, I don't know if you know, the Rams won Super Bowl 56.
What?
Yeah. Let's hear the play-by-play from 710 ESPN Los Angeles.
Matthew Stafford under center. Here's the snap. Here's the knee. The Bengals will not call a timeout. The sidelines empty. Rings for the Rams. A Lombardi trophy for Los Angeles. 23-20 is the final on their home field here at SoFi Stadium in Super Bowl 56. The Los Angeles Rams are world champions.
Nice.
Not a bad call.
Solid call.
Yeah. It's almost like the empty sound behind it, though, sums up how I feel the city of Los Angeles actually feels about it. Did you guys see so many people, like I saw so many videos on social media of the, quote, celebration? Or like someone would post a big touchdown moment. It was dead in there. Dead. It wasn't a real home field advantage.
It's pretty people.
Say it again?
It's pretty people.
Yeah, it was one of the biggest. I've never seen a more celeb crowd at a Super Bowl ever. And beyond that, it's just not a fan base yet that cares about this team. We'll find out in the coming years whether the Super Bowl really ignites a big fan base. Maybe it will.
I mean, we might not see that for another 15 years. Usually kids start, you know, L.A. market for, you know, two decades didn't have a team. People went on to other things, other teams. They're not gonna switch.
And in 15 years, will the Rams still be there?
I don't know. Stan Kroenke might, Kroenke, whatever his name is.
Kroenke.
Yeah, might find some place more.
I don't know. I just go back, and it's going back to, like, what was it, 95 when they left to go to St. Louis? When they were, like, interviewing people, like, at, you know, the beach. And they just, like, whatever. They didn't seem to care they were losing a team. Didn't seem to care they didn't have a team for 20 years. I think they probably feel about everything except, like, Dodgers, Lakers. I think those are teams that they really care about.
Dodgers and Lakers are legit.
But the Kings did well when they made a Stanley Cup run when Gretzky was there.
Well, because that just shows you the event town that it is.
Right.
I mean, no, when they won their two Stanley Cups, when Gretzky got there back in 88, it became the place to be and sold out every night. And Goldie Hawn and Sylvester Stallone were there. And
Sly.
When they were winning the Cups in 12 and 14, believe me, it was a place to be. But, you know, it's not like that every year they get supported like that. And I'm sure that's the way it is with the Clippers and all the other teams. It's the Lakers because of all the dominance and all the championships, and the Dodgers because they were the first to get there.
How about the fact, I knew it. You could just tell it from TV. Steve Young said that's the greatest stadium you've ever seen. Yeah. It's magnificent. It is a work of art. It's pretty people. Not a Venetian blind. But we digress, Peter.
We did digress. Let's hear the call in Cincinnati as well on 15:30 a.m.
The Rams will line up in the victory formation.
39 seconds left in the Super Bowl. The Rams scoring the go-ahead touchdown with 1:25 to go as the Bengals were not able to protect Joe Burrow for a fourth quarter lead. The Bengals have one timeout left, but they're not going to bother to use it. Zach Taylor embracing Andrew Whitworth and now heading toward the 50-yard line to shake hands with his former boss, Sean McVay.
By the way, I truly appreciate the Bengals not calling the timeout.
I think it was ridiculous to not call it.
You wrote that. Why did you want them to do that?
Because you've got to try. I mean, you don't know if the exchange could be messed up. You got to try. You can't leave a timeout in the holster. You got to try. Let them snap it again.
That's
irresponsible.
It's an optic. It's not real.
Yeah, well, why not get him the snap again?
Well, did anybody think that Prasarczyk was going to fumble the ball to Zonka? No. So, I mean, it happens in life.
Okay. It probably, listen, 99.99999, but why not? How does it hurt, Peter? Where are you going?
Were you in a hurry? I know Don went to sleep immediately after the gun, where were you going?
No, not for me. I just appreciated. I appreciated the approach to we lost. It's
so you're a white flag guy. You run the flag up right away.
No, but once they turned the ball over under a minute left, they had an opportunity. They had to pick up a yard. They didn't get it. They lost the game. Good night. I'm going home. And I appreciate the let's just get out of here and get this done with. I hear what you're saying too. Maybe if I was a fan of that team, I'd want to exhaust every last option, but
it's almost a fireable offense.
Well, I hope you're not serious.
I think Mike Brown has to call him on the carpet. If you ever leave a timeout in the holster in a game, I'll fire you. What if, as he's snapping the ball, the center has a massive heart attack, and then it's on the ground, and you can get the ball back?
Well, we can only hope. Let's hear from. I'm not the one who said it.
Holy crap.
I wasn't rooting for it. I'm just pointing it out.
Let's hear from winning Super Bowl coach Sean McVay on his star defensive lineman, Aaron Donald.
What an impact that he's made in terms of elevating our whole organization. And I promise you guys, you know, I was mic'd up so you guys can hear. When it was the fourth down and you could see they got into the shotgun and they were probably not going to run the football, I said, Aaron's going to close the game out right here. And he is the effing man.
He is.
That was a little look at me, look at me. I called it.
Look at me.
By the way, Peter, have you seen a picture of Sean McVay's fiance?
I have.
Yeah, he's doing well in life.
He's fine. He's doing just fine. I'm not worried about him.
Nope.
That said, I still don't want him on my NFL broadcast. Still haven't heard a thing that makes me go, oh, yeah, I need him on TV. On TV. Let's hear from Cooper Kupp on winning the Super Bowl MVP.
I just feel so undeserving of all these awards and accolades because I just feel like I've played it from a place of freedom. I've just allowed myself to be in the moment every single time that there was going to be guys alongside me to be able to make this thing come to life. I'm just so thankful for them. It was all these things are truly, you know, they're team awards. You don't, at receiver, you aren't a successful receiver without all the other 10 guys on the field doing their job. So, you know, each of those guys that stepped on the field, just so incredibly thankful for them.
Guys. Very modest of Cooper Kupp, who led the league in receptions, yards, and touchdowns, every receiving category that matters. This is where things get insane. His 2021 regular season, which was, of course, 17 games, he recorded 145 catches for 1,947 yards and 16 touchdowns. Add in his playoff stats another 33 receptions, the most ever in NFL history in the playoffs, 478 yards, and another 6 touchdowns. Guys, if you had a player, if you had a third receiver on your team, maybe a third or fourth receiver, who gave you 33 catches, 478 yards, and 6 touchdowns, you'd go, that's a pretty good year. We should bring him back. That's a regular season. He is an absolute maniac. It's the best receiving season in history.
Triple crown.
He's good.
Now, I don't think he gets it if not for the extra game, but still.
Doesn't get what?
The triple crown.
Well, he's still good because it's just leading all
over. Everyone
receivers.
Else would have one less
right,
game.
Right, so everybody else would have one less game.
No, but just compared to the other guys that have done the triple crown.
But he still would get a triple crown.
Yeah, no, I get that.
And also, if you look at the all-time best seasons had combining regular season and playoffs, even with him having an extra game or two, he's 500 yards ahead of Jerry Rice.
No, he's...
It's like this guy is an absolute maniac.
He's not Jerry Rice, but I get what you're saying.
No, I'm not saying he's Jerry Rice. He's 5 years into his career. And obviously this year, by the way, was head and shoulders above the last two. You know, even the last two, 974 yards in 15 games last year, 1,161 yards in 16 games the year before. The 2 years prior to that, he was a fine, decent player, but no one was talking about him. I mean, can I be honest?
Pretty good draft pick by the Rams. Fifth round? Not too bad.
Not too bad. Although I will tell you, when you do look at his stat sheet, it's and I'm not accusing this man of doing anything wrong, okay? But I'm just telling you how it looks, Don, on paper, how it looks. It looks Barry Bonds-ish. Last year, he had 92 catches for 974 and 3 TDs. This year, he had 145 for 1947 and 16.
Right, well, now look at the difference in quarterback.
Yeah.
Goff to Stafford. Plus, you sprinkle in a little Odell in the second half of the season.
Yeah, that helps too. Frees you up a little bit.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Let's hear from Zach Taylor. What was his message to the Bengals?
It's a special group. It stings right now, but you got to find a way to just really cherish what this group had together. It's a special group. It's rare that you get to coach a team like this. This team means a lot. I'm proud of the way that they fought. I thought they did a lot for our team, for our organization, and for our city, and they need to be really proud of that.
Specifically on the offensive line, here's Zach Taylor.
I thought in the first half of this game, protection was tremendous. And in the second half, you know, we called some passes and it got difficult. You know, we'll have to see how they all played out. You know, it's everyone's just going to say it's the offensive line. We got to see exactly how that played out. Don't ever want our quarterback to get hit, but that's life in the NFL sometimes.
I said Krupp was a fifth rounder. He was a third rounder. 69th pick of the 2017 draft. I want to clean that up.
Clean it up.
Good job by you cleaning that up. I'm making things up here.
Absolutely.
Joe Burrow says the loss will motivate them.
Yeah, I mean, we're a young team, so you know, you'd like to think that we're going to be back in this situation, you know, multiple times over the next course of the next few years. So take this and, you know, let it fuel you for the rest of our careers.
It's interesting.
I thought Steve Young brought up a great – even if this guy is great, Don, right? Great as he was. What's the odds of getting back there again? What are the odds of getting back there again?
You're still going to have to go through –
Everybody.
The same quarterbacks.
Yeah.
And maybe more, because I would think that maybe Baltimore will be back. So what if Lamar Jackson gets back to what he was just a couple of years ago? Now you might not even win your division. And
By the way, what if Cleveland finds a real quarterback in that division?
Well, and where does Aaron Rodgers go? Now, Steve Young made it very clear he'd be nuts to go to the AFC, but if he were to, that's just another quarterback you'd got to go through, because Mahomes isn't going anywhere. Herbert's not going anywhere. You know, and Buffalo with Josh Allen. So you got to go through the same quarterbacks.
And Mac Jones is going to be a year older, had a really good first year. Well, Zach Wilson. Did you see Zach Wilson was hanging out with Cindy Crawford at the Super Bowl?
Wow, that's very random.
Very.
That could be your mom. His mom, right?
Easily.
Oh, yeah.
Cindy's, I don't want to offend her. I would think she's close to 60, no?
I'll look it up for you right now.
Okay. You could have asked her if you just opened your mouth and talked to her.
But that was many years ago, so it wouldn't have been.
Not a great icebreaker to ask a woman how old she is.
Yeah.
So, Cindy, how old are you now? How old are you? What are you pushing now, 50?
On February 20th, she was 56.
Oh.
Okay.
Nice.
Odell Beckham Jr. had a great start to the game. Looked poised to dominate. Of course, got the Rams on the board with that touchdown. And now it is believed, after that non-contact injury with 3 minutes and 50 seconds remaining in the second quarter, that Odell has a torn left ACL.
Same one he tore before.
Yeah.
Yes, if it is in fact that, it will be the second time. And it would give him 7 months from right now to try to get back for next year. But, of course, he's a free agent after this season as well. God, what an amazing start for Odell, and then what an emotional roller coaster it was.
Which means he would have no training camp.
Definitely not.
So does he stay with the Rams on a discounted deal?
Yeah, he was looking at another big deal.
Yeah.
So he's had three serious injuries. Now, he broke his ankle with the Giants,
mm-hmm.
then two knee injuries, ACL injuries.
Oh, it's tough. But he's bounced back from them. But maybe he just stays with the Rams another year, has a big year, and we'll get that payday at the end of next season. But you don't know. No training camp. Because you said 7 months, so that's September. That's the beginning of the season. So no camp. That means he may not come back until, like, what, October 1?
And if he loves the Rams in L.A., because he always wanted to get out there, you knew that. If he loves it so much, he certainly made a truckload of money. He made a lot of money in his last contract, the one with the Giants, so... And he played it out to the end. How often does that happen? He made $22 million this year. So, as you said, come back 1 year at the Rams, and you know, you're playing with a great quarterback, a great offensive mind as coach, and do it.
Yeah.
Rumors swirling that it could be the end of the line for Aaron Donald at just 30 years old, that he may want out. But it's reportedly a surprise to Rams GM Les Snead. He'll sleep on it and see, but I'm not buying it, he told the NFL, NFL.com. He's a young kid who will get bored and need something to do.
See, now, if he was teetering, that will drive him toward retirement. Nobody wants to be told you're not going to do it.
7-time All-Pro, 3-time Defensive Player of the Year in 8 seasons so far. Now, I tease you guys with the... Jack Collinsworth, because that I just saw a picture of him.
Here. Right,
look at me.
Listen, I admit I get bitter when children of people in our industry are able to move up the ladder.
Here's a guy
very quickly, right? I admit that.
Why does it bother you so much?
I just to be 27 years old and a host on the Super Bowl. It feels nuts to me. And I guess, Don, here's what I'm saying. And I say this to Michael, too. Just do me a favor. If your children want to get into the industry and you're able to wield your might to help them, I would have them have their biggest break not on the same show as you. It, to me, just feels bizarre.
Like in, like, 15 years... You don't want Charlie filling in for you or taking over for you.
I would say it would look strange if Charlie was aspiring to be in baseball broadcasting.
Mm-hmm.
I would think you use your connections and help him get a job as the Padres sideline reporter.
Why? It worked for Joe Buck, Jack
not
Buck.
Not the Yankees.
Oh, it hurt Joe Buck's career. Jack Buck got him the first job with the Cardinals.
No, it certainly doesn't hurt your career. I'm just telling you, I don't respect it. It's just so – I'm sorry. I am so sorry. I do not respect you. I if you prove to be great one day, awesome. But, like, we have an industry full of people who work so hard. To be sitting there at the Super Bowl 27 years old out of nowhere and your dad has the same name sitting in the booth, it just – maybe I'm just a bitter, angry person. But, Don, I see it and I just roll my eyes. I can't help it.
Well, you like with, like, the Ian Eagle situation. His son's out in L.A., 3,000 miles away, doing what he's doing.
Yeah, you know, Ian didn't push him to be the to get the sideline job for the Nets. It would look weird.
Well, we'll see where it leads.
I don't even know
he's
what the
not
job
bad
is.
On the air.
No, he's fine on the air, but I don't even know what the job is. They forced in like an eighth host.
There was a guy.
It's just such a random spot.
Well, the thing is that really the network to work for? Because outside of the Olympics and, you know, Sunday night football, what is NBC doing sports wise? They don't have basketball anymore. Don't have hockey anymore.
Well, they got Notre Dame and they.
I don't know. I think at 27 years old, you'll be good with just doing Sunday night football. I think that'll play.
But I don't know if he's going to get a chance to do that.
But he's on it every week right now.
Yeah.
I didn't even notice.
Yeah, he is. Yeah. He's on the field with Rodney all the time.
Him and Rodney Harrison host, like, from the field every week on Sunday Night Football. Speaking of which, what did you guys think of what was probably the last Al Michaels NBC call? And certainly the last time we'll see Michelle Tafoya in that role. He wished her well, and in her last broadcast, what were your guys' takeaways?
He was Al Michaels. Yeah, he was solid. He was on every call. He was great.
I will say, and this isn't anybody's fault, but it does like irritate me where like Michelle is interviewing Aaron Donald and asks the money question: are you going to retire? And then everybody's got to come and like start hugging him, interrupt the interview. It's like, come on, can he? I guess it doesn't matter. Nobody's going to feel bad for the interviewer, but she's trying to do an interview, and then everybody comes and just interrupts and hugs, and she can't even get the answer, and then eventually does. But it was it was good. It was – yesterday was like a really good Thursday night game.
Yeah, just because it was close. It wasn't a great game.
It didn't – honestly, it didn't feel like Super Bowl big to me.
Like the Chiefs against the Bills, that was a great game.
Yeah, because you've had, you know, but even like last year's Super Bowl, Mahomes versus Brady, the new kid versus the old guy. You know, but you've got LA and the Rams are just like, do they have like the fan base is relatively small, like there's nothing there. You know, Cincinnati, I think people were rooting for them because they did it the right way with the draft and all that. But it's not like we just got to know. Burrow's only been in the league a couple of years.
But
they've got stars, but they're all very, very young.
Cincinnati picks up one more big first down on that final drive, and we were looking at maybe an amazing end to that game. The setup was there. The problem was LA's defense had taken over so completely by that point. That when guys, in 2021-2022 NFL, a quarterback like Joe Burrow getting the ball back with a minute 20 left, you're going plenty of time to go down the field and win the game. And all they had to do was get in the field goal range. But all the juice was taken out of that moment because of the way LA's defense was running roughshod on the Bengals.
Right. Well, let me ask you this. And again, I'm not. They were there. They deserved to be there. And whoever won the game would have deserved to win the game. But did you sense that those were the two best teams in the NFL yesterday?
It didn't feel that way.
You know, when you look at those playoffs and you look at the way Kansas City and Buffalo played each other.
And well, I think the Rams might be the best team in the NFC. I think the Rams might be. I don't know if the Bengals – I don't think the Bengals are the best team in the AFC. Who's better than the Rams?
I mean, the Packers should be.
But they're not.
Right, and so that's why I can't take anything away because you deserve to get there. They went, they won the allotted games, and they were there. But I'm just saying that when you look at these amazing playoffs and the performances, you know, Buffalo, I think, is better than both of those teams. The Chiefs had their chance to prove it, but they didn't do it. But overall, you're probably taking Mahomes over either of those two quarterbacks. So there was that kind of feeling of that there wasn't like a lot of – there's no – usually you don't get a lot of history between the teams because they play in different conferences. But, you know, it was a nice game, but it wasn't anything overly special. And I didn't get a sense that it was overly big.
No, listen, it would have felt, let's be realistic, if that same game had taken place in Los Angeles with that halftime and everything else, but we were getting Patrick Mahomes versus Aaron Rodgers, it would have felt 10 times bigger than yesterday. There's no doubt. That was the sexiest option available.
Because you saw a lot of three and outs. The Rams kept getting the ball at midfield, couldn't get a first down. And listen, defense is important, and you got to give credit to the defense. But, God, it's like, even though we're complimenting Stafford, he missed some throws.
The game really got weak in the third quarter when they just started punting back and forth, and you could tell Cincinnati had lost their mojo, and the Rams defense took over. Because once the Rams defense took over, Cincinnati's completely shut down, but the Rams offense still had never recovered from when Odell left the game. So now it just became a slog.
Yeah.
God, you guys realize how easily that game could have covered the over? They punted back and forth for an hour and still almost hit the over.
Did you guys have a problem? Again, this could just be me being an old guy. That the Cincinnati punter stayed out to watch the halftime show rather than going to.
Well, he came. Did he stay out or come out?
No, I think he stayed out. Well, I think the long snapper from Rutgers.
Kickers are barely even people.
Well, I will say this: having done the Jets for 16 years, and I would have to do the halftime report, so I'd see the field. I always wondered if the punter even ever went in. They'd be out warming up. It felt like 30 seconds after the half started. I don't think there's anything to say.
Well, that's the thing.
They don't even want to pretend they're involved in any meetings.
By the way, so that dude, McPherson, has been an absolute iron horse for this team, right? He's a complete stud. He has one job, kick the ball. Doesn't need to worry about it. You know what I'm saying? Like, enjoy yourself. I didn't have a problem with it. Oh, you think he was going to give the speech at halftime?
Well, maybe the special teams coach was going to put in a special, you know, something, you know, fake kick, something like that.
Well, I mean, how long after they are done do they come out?
I don't know.
So when the music was over, he probably could have jumped in, had a conversation with the special teams coach for like 10 minutes as they're clearing the field.
I took no issue with it. I found it amusing, but I took no issue. Lastly, people saying that the relationship between the Cardinals and Kyler Murray got worse at the end of that playoff game against the Rams when Kyler did not want to finish the game. With a minute left, he came up to Colt McCoy and was like, I'm done. And Colt McCoy encouraged him to finish the game with his teammates. That reportedly did not rub people in Arizona the right way.
Nor should it.
Also, anyone wondering, your favorites to win next year's Super Bowl?
I would think Kansas City's up there.
13-2.
Bills.
And the Bills at 7-1. James Harden out through the All-Star break. We won't see him as a Sixer until sometime after. That'll do it for ENN, the special post-Super Bowl ENN, which is brought to you by Hennessy. Enjoy a delicious Hennessy NBA cocktail while watching the game. Try the Playmaker, the Hennessy Triple-Double, both made with Hennessy VS. Visit Hennessy.com for drink recipes. Hennessy, spirit of the NBA. Always enjoy responsibly.
Also, Sacramento at Brooklyn tonight, 7:30. You can see the pregame on Yes starting at 7. Game time at 7:30. And Ben Simmons is not playing, but he's out with the team shooting, so obviously he's getting a lot better. Oklahoma City and the Knicks, 7:30. 7 o'clock pregame show right here on 98.7 ESPN. We'll finish with your phone calls right here on Yes and 98.7 ESPN Radio.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.